I've got something rather unusual for you tonight. And it's been on my heart, but first I want to turn to this passage in Jeremiah. And we have in the prophecy of Jeremiah a very beautiful statement about the Word of God. Chapter 23, verse 29. And I want to begin with verse 28. You'll turn to it in your Bibles, if you will, please. I wish every one of you tonight would have your Bible and also have a pen or something you can mark it with, because I'm going to do, as I said, something a little unusual in bringing you this message. But in Jeremiah 23, verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wind or to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets. I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one of them, from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said, behold, I am against that prophet that prophesies false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. In this text, we have a description of what the Word of God can do. First, it's like a fire that burns everything up. Second, it's like a hammer that takes the hardest stone and grinds it to powder. The Bible says it's quick and it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged stone. And we have, in the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, a carefully presented, a carefully guarded, a carefully spelled out message from heaven. And just as God made the creation which is about us, and we see His Word in nature, everything in its seed and after its kind, so we see in this book of ours that which partakes of the same power from the same God, but this time He's using that power to make decent human beings out of us. And that's the power of salvation. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's the power of God. And it's the power of God that has been laid out before us in the Scriptures. Now, the one place in the Scripture where you have the emphasis upon the Word of God at great length and more than any other place is Psalm 119. It is a magnificent exaltation of the statutes and the law and the commandments and the Word over and over again. And what I thought I would do in this message with you tonight is to take your Bibles, and I want to show you in this great Psalm of David. You know, it's a very special psalm. It's in the Hebrew, of course, but it's an alphabetical psalm. It is structured in the language, in the Hebrew, that made everybody marvel that we could have it. Now, each member of the Hebrew alphabet is like our ABCs, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth, here they are. Each letter in the alphabet starts out with Aleph, Beit, the section is each sentence in each one of those letters begins with the word that has that letter at the front. You spell all this thing out in the Hebrew, here's Aleph, every word begins here, and then it comes out here. Then you've got Beit, and here's beginning with every word that opens up each sentence is a Beit. And then you've got Gimel, you've got ABC, we would have it, but this Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth. And the 119th Psalm is the whole Hebrew alphabet boxed in these little units, each section with the letter of the alphabet spelled out with the first letter of each word in that section begins with that letter. It's poetry. It's beautiful. And when you study it in seminary, you marvel at it because it was something that was very beautiful in itself, something that was very attractive to the Hebrew people who read their Hebrew Bibles, to realize that God gave David such a comprehensive and sweeping presentation of his word and what his word does and the value of his word to his people. Now remember, this text of mine says the word is like a fire. The word is like a hammer. The word is something that you can't stop burning. And the word is a hammer that you can't stop crushing the stones. It's not bound. It's not restricted. It's God's. And God uses it the way he wants to use it. And as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the ground, so the word of God will accomplish that which God intends that it shall accomplish for it. Now will you take your Bible with me, please, and turn over to Psalm 119. Will you turn to Psalm 119? If you've got a pen or a pencil in your hands, I'm going to go through this with you. I've never done it before, but it's a magnificent breakdown and outline of what God has done for us. Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's why we have a summer Bible school. That's why we have these young people memorize and hide this word in their heart. Look at verse 19. You want to put a ring around it? You can. I've got mine all marked up and I want to show you. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, how do you not forget it? Well, it's in your memory. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servants, for that I may live and keep thy word. One reason you want to exist is you can honor this word. This is David coming through with all of these wonderful things. Now turn to verse 25. I don't want to go too fast for you, but if you'll mark this, you'll never forget it. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That doesn't describe us. As we realize our frailty and our certainty of what's going to happen to these bodies, what are you going to be quickened by? By thy word. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. A few minutes ago it was dust. Now it's heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Here's this word that strengthens you. As I told you, I went down yesterday afternoon to see Mrs. Masika. She's had this stroke. But you know what I do now as I go to these hospitals with our people? It was 12 years ago that I was in the hospital for 3 months. Couldn't eat, drink, or anything. And I wrote a book, The God of All Comfort. I don't know whether she'll be able to read it or not, but I took it and showed it to her and left it with her. But I want to tell you, the Word of God has this quickening power in it. And I wrote a book about 3 months in the hospital and how it was the Word of God that gave me my comfort, my strength, and it saved my life. That's what he says here. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. And do what? Keep thy word. You people have come to church tonight, every last one of you, because you kept the word of God. Because you didn't want to end the Lord's day and the Sabbath day with some personal interest or some personal desire. You came here to have this wonderful emphasis presented to you on the word. Now look at verse 25. It's Daleth, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. It comes back again to this word. Now will you turn to verse 42. Turn to verse 42, that verse. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me for I trust in thy word. How did the Lord answer the devil? He quoted it to him three times, the devil left him. Verse 43, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Remember the word unto thy servant on which thou hast caused me to hope. That's the only place you're going to get any hope. That's the only place there is any hope. When you turn down to verse 57, am I going a little bit too fast for some of you? Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Now I'm very pleased that you've got the distinction between word in one place and words, which is plural, in another. And in the 17th chapter of John, that great passage that defines eternal life, Jesus says both things. I've given unto them thy words, plural. I've given unto them thy word. He uses word to encompass it all. He uses words to get to the jot and the tittle, and every single word is there. Now, I haven't developed this for you. I'm going to be developing it on the radio and on the TV across the country. We're all pretty well set. But this new Bible that I mentioned this morning, that's just come out, it's the revised edition of the RSV, and there are over 1,000 changes in it. And when I've gone through and marked many of them and used them, they have simply cut out the word man. Adam, it's in the Hebrew, and Parthenos, and Anthropos for man, and the Greek, it's all there. And they ought to translate this such. But they haven't done it. They haven't done it. They've laid that aside and rearranged it to suit what they wanted to do. And they have simply taken the words of God and the word of God and dealt with them like they thought they'd like to treat them, to take away the masculine and help these feminists and their drive to get more equality with man as they talk about it. But they have taken the Bible, and now we have a place here way back in the beginning where we have, I will keep thy words. And Jesus said, every word of God is true. All right, look at verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. You're treating me like you said you would treat me if I went by thy word, and if I loved it, and if I stood by it, and I was not ashamed of it. Beautiful. That's Psalm 119, verse 65. Now in the next verse, teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. I'm not going to touch on the commandments and judgments and law, run all the way through it, but they're all about the same. Now look at verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Isn't it wonderful when people are glad to meet a preacher that preaches the word? And they are. They are. All right, turn down to verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, wilt thou comfort me? And why is it when we go to see somebody that's in the hospital or somebody at home, why is it that we always give them the word? We either quote it or we read it, and the only thing that's going to comfort anybody is the Word of God that brings to our minds and to our hearts all these wonderful things that God has done for us. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. You can't change it down here. You can't do anything about it down here except honor it, proclaim it, preach it, carry it wherever you go and use it. Now look at verse 101. Turn over to 101 and mark that. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Isn't it beautiful that each one of us has a heart Each one of us is open into what God wants us to do through His Word. You wouldn't be interested in any kind of a church today that doesn't present the Word. And how in the world these Presbyterians and all the rest of them are going to buy this book and put it on their pulpits when the words are worthless. The words are worthless. Now look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What was it that God told Ezekiel? To eat the scroll. What do I tell these young men when I lecture to them at Faith Seminary? Eat the Word. Get the Word so in your system it comes out in your prayers. Get the Word so about your heart you can stand up and just speak freely, and it comes just out of your mouth, it just rolls out of your mouth. You're saturated in it. You've been baked in it. You've been cured by it. The Word does all these wonderful things to us. And my, how wonderful it is when we have Sunday school teachers and elders and men who are so familiar with the Word. It wouldn't be wonderful if every one of my elders in this church could get up and preach a sermon. That's the reason the Korean church has grown like it has. You've never seen anything like the Korean church anywhere in these last 100 years. Just a little handful of them, about 1 million. When I went over there in 59, today they're close to 10 million Christians. Preachers couldn't do it. It's the elders. It's the elders. It's the teachers. They've got people everywhere. They're scattered on every corner and every little place, and they don't have any problem reaching them. But if the church was filled with people who had what Psalm 119 says will do for us, there's no limit to what God would do in blessing a people and blessing a church. Well, go back to this. It's sweet to my taste. My, it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now look at verse 107. I am afflicted very much. You know, when you get really afflicted, the time to do is go back and read the Word. I've had an interesting thing happen. Some lady out in California, her mother died, and her name is Ruth. I came home the other day, and my wife said, I've been talking to a lady in California for almost an hour. And I said, I know, she's talked to me, but her mother died, and she and her mother lived together very closely, and she just can't get over it. And she'd thinking about it, she'd like to come here and maybe live near our church, but there's no church out there she'd be a part of. But why did that lady call me? She says, Doctor, she says, Mother and I used to listen to you every morning, and they put you off the air. And she said, we miss you, but we like the way you told us about the Word of God and what was going on. And there's not a buddy in the country that I thought I could talk to. I just wanted to call you. Well, I comforted her and gave her the Word, and she's going to call back. But there's a lady. She says, Mother and I were very close. We even prayed that if we had to go, we'd both go together. But Mother's gone. She says, I was raised in an old-fashioned Methodist church, but we can't go near the thing anymore. Doctor, you know what's happened to it. And I said, well, Ruth, you just be patient now. And you know what she says? Doctor, I spend more time reading the Bible now than I ever did before. I said, yes, it took your mother's death to turn you to the Bible. And that happens. And it's a good thing when it happens that way. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. All right, now will you turn over to verse 114. Thou art mine hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. I was going to turn you, and I may do it before I get finished here tonight, to this last chapter, the 17th chapter of Revelation. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Of course, that just is right under the paragraph there dealing with Word. Now come, please, to verse 130. And this has a special verse to you old-timers here. The entrance of thy word, that's plural, giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. When I came to your church, I came into the church back there in 1933 to deliver a sermon, a trial sermon, so they could see what this young preacher was like. And I had agreed to come up, and I told the committee, Dr. Chamberlain, Bob Dunlap, Miss Lord, all these different people who were on it, that if the Collingswood Church would give me a unanimous call, I would consider taking it. I was getting along very well down Lake City. I'd taken a little church there that was dead. They only had a handful of members, not more than 10 or 12. And I built it up to 220 members, and we were going strong. And I didn't feel like I wanted to leave that ministry. But I said, well, if you want to give me a unanimous call, I would think about it. I'll never forget. I went through the church first time, hadn't even preached. I went into the Sunday school. The little building still there. Over the wall of the Sunday school were these words, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." I don't know who put it there. Maybe Dr. Laird had it put there when he was the pastor. I have no idea, but I know it was there when I came. I know it was there when I left, but it always, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." That's your Sunday school. That's what we left behind. But here's the text here in Psalm 119. My, oh my, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." All right. Will you turn now to verse 139. "My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Now that ought to be enough to settle in your heart. Ought to be enough to settle in your heart once and for all. We're not going to tolerate. I don't know. They say we have some 60 new different translations. They've just been multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. All kinds of them have been put out. They're not accurate. They don't make an effort to take the literal scriptures. All you and I want is to have translated out of the Greek and out of the Hebrew and the short Aramaic that's in Daniel, literally. We want a translation that tells us exactly what those words said when they were given to the prophets and the apostles. Well, now they say that was 2,000 years ago, that was 1,000 years ago, and things have changed. So we can take the spirit of that. We can take what we call the thought of that. And we'll adjust it to our culture and to our development. You don't do it. You don't dare change the words that the Holy Spirit had written by the prophets and the apostles. And that's why the nature of the gospel never changes. That's why the nature of the church with elders and deacons never changes. That's why the nature that Christ wants us to abide by and the kind of lives that we live by, the kind of life that you're living today, should be no different than the members of the church in Corinth. The kind of life and the kind of family and the kind of circumstances in which you live should have you as the same kind of a person. The Bible that produced the Christians of the churches that Paul established is the Bible that produced this church. And we go in the same way of prayer. We go in the same way of understanding. And I tell you, it's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. And we'll see the saints of every age. The only trouble is, in those early centuries, if you confess Christ, you got your head cut off. We don't quite get that today, but we get a lot of other things that's pretty well, it's pretty bad because we name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have it. And how beautiful it is. Thou art my hiding place. All right, now we'll turn to verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. There are times when you can't sleep all night. There are times when things about you, something happens, and you just cry. And then the psalmist said, I hoped in thy word. The only thing that could stop my tears was the word. The only thing that could make me... You know, each of us have to give an account of ourselves to Christ. We're Protestant. Direct relationship to Him. You don't give an account of of us to a priest. I'm so happy that my people don't have to confess their sins to me before I preach. I'd be in bad shape. I'm so happy that I don't have a little box that you have to come and look through, and I'm listening to you. You go into these Catholic churches any place in the world, there's a little box there, the priest sits in there, and you come and confess your sins. You don't have to confess your filthy sins to me. You confess your sins to Jesus Christ, and we are accountable directly to Him, and that's Protestantism. That's Bible Presbyterianism. And that's the way each of us are accountable for our souls and our relationship to Christ. And so we have here these wonderful, wonderful statements that come out of this 119th Psalm. Now notice verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. That's Genesis 1:1. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Isn't that beautiful? Let me say this to you. The Bible gives us the Trinity. The third person is the Holy Spirit. The third person was active in creation. The third person was active in the virgin birth. The third person was active in your salvation, the new birth. This new Bible, in chapter 1, where our Bible says the Spirit of God moved over the deep. It eliminates the Holy Spirit altogether and says a wind moved over. Was it a hurricane or a cyclone? What kind of a wind hit us? I don't know. But you and I are dealing with a book here. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of our righteous judgments endureth forever. God's law doesn't change. God's righteous judgments remain forever sealed. And He doesn't change them. We don't change them. And as I pointed out to you, the kind of Christians that we're developing in this church are the same kind of Christians that were members of the church in Ephesus in the beginning. The Bible produces in you and me what Jesus Christ has always wanted His people to be and become. My, it's a marvelous thing to have the Bible to give you security, to give you hope, to give you the love of truth and the love of God, and to know that your times are in His hands and your life is His to use and to take. That's what God's given to you and me. And it's a blessed thing. What is it? Is not thy word like a fire? Is not thy word like a hammer? It takes a stone and makes powder of it. Is not thy word that which will go down into your heart and break it open and give you faith so that you will never, never die? That's where we are tonight.